did number 12, that you sang number 12, because that's a husband and wife thing, and Bill was talking about husbands and wives, and there is no wife living who thinks the husband stays home enough or holds her hand enough or is sitting beside her long enough. Husbands have a way of always being gone somewhere, and wives have a way of staying home a good deal of the time. Even working wives seem to be at home more than the men. Women's lib really haven't changed that very much. And the story behind number 12 is that a husband, this man Martin, was going away somewhere to preach. As I recall, it seemed extended, maybe like 3 months. I don't recall the exact time, but it was far too long for any wife. And she told him that she was being mistreated and forsaken and forgotten. And so as he left, he told her, well, God will take care of you. You know, not just the trite thing, God will take care of you. But he really consoled her with that. God will take care of you. And it impressed her so much that she wrote these words. And when he got home, he was so impressed that he wrote the music to it. And I'm glad that we did a father and a mother and a husband and wife song. I was surprised that you didn't sing the one across the page, because it was written 18 miles south of you. Isn't Baldwin just 18 miles south of here? But you didn't, because I guess you don't care if songs are written 18 miles south of here. That won't fall, will it? Well, now I want to read to you from the book of Galatians, the last chapter, and verse 17 of the last chapter of Galatians 6. And really, the only person who came out because I'm here is Randy Beinecke, and he's a particular friend of mine. I know Randy and his brothers and his sisters and his mother once put in their paper, even it said on the front page, that I was an especial friend of hers. It said on the front page of the paper, and I was very glad to read that. And I think I may have cut it out and pinned it up somewhere. It's probably been torn down. My wife takes down. I took things, but she takes things down. And I'm glad to learn I really had never paid any attention to that part where it says that she... I understand now why she keeps. She takes down things and puts them in that back room, back there where all the books are. And I see now she has the right to do that. I've always complained. And I would like to correct... Marvin de Groff said that I'm going to be he said it three times. I wrote it down. This is something I want to remember, that I'm going to be available on an informal basis. Available on an informal basis. I don't know where he made that up, but I like it. Available on an informal basis. And I hope I've always been available, but if it's ever been on any other basis, I don't know how. But this afternoon, I'm going to watch this, because I am going to be available on an informal basis. I was wondering what chair they would sit. It may be a particular chair at your house. Is it that? Is it on the floor? Oh. It's something that I don't know how to do, and my hands are cold anyway from that medicine, and I got chills all over when I thought, available on an informal basis. I remember when the little child streaked through the house and the mother said he had not a stitch of clothes on. She said, informally clad. I couldn't imagine available. Well, we'll see what happens. at 4 o'clock, but I don't know whether to look forward to it with fear and trembling or, well, we'll see. Nonetheless, I'm going to read you a text from Galatians. You thought I'd forgotten, didn't you? Galatians begins and ends the same way. Paul, at the beginning, speaks of grace and peace. And he ends the book of Galatians the same way. Verse 16, he wants them to have peace. In grace 18, in verse 18, he wants them to have grace. I'm not thinking of either of those. Would like to talk to you about verse 17. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand mark of Jesus. Just for the sake of the King James Version, people of whom I am sure there are some, although not on the front row, I'll see that. Oh, you all wrote that. There are some King James people, and for the sake of Authorized Version, henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear branded on my body the mark of Jesus. And Moffat, just because he was quite liberal, don't let anyone steal Moffat from you. He often said some good things that Philip kind of copied later, and we all like Philip more because Philip was like told much by Mr. Lewis. But Moffat said some very good things. He wasn't afraid of changing language. He didn't give a hang whether it sold or not. But he really didn't. He translated in the tribes, the heads of tribes, the sheik. I can't recall what they're called in the King James Version. But Moffat says, Duke, a sheik, or sheik. Moffat says here at this verse, the owner's stamp of Jesus. The New English Bible says, in future let no one make trouble for me, for I bear the marks of Jesus branded on my body. In the day in which Paul scribes these words, I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus, it was common to brand slaves with a hot iron. At first they did it on the forehead, and then the Roman Senate began to realize that in Rome itself the slave population was so much greater than the free population that at any moment, if the slaves could count, they could see there were three times as many slaves as there were aristocracy or free people, and they could all get together and say, hey, let's overthrow them, and they very easily could have done so. So they began to brand them either on the arm or on the buttock. And the last time I said this, my wife said that in assemblies we don't say things like that, but that's where they branded them anyway, and I don't know any other way of saying it. But if you good assembly people figure out some other nice way to say it and put it in those terms. And so Paul was thinking of this, the branding, the ownership by branding, so that it could never be marked out, so that forever you could tell whose slave is this, to whom does this man belong. And that's what he was thinking, I think, when he wrote this. The totality of Christianity. We live in an age older. It has always been so. I keep saying, because I grow this beard white, I've gotten so I say, we live in an age when things are different. It's always been, there have been those people who say they are Christians without any brand marks of Jesus Christ on them. There are always the head nodders, the folks who say, oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh, isn't it lovely, lovely? We think all of that. Whose right has never been changed by anything. And Paul was thinking of people who had been changed drastically, dramatically. And he's speaking of the totality of Christianity, of belonging to Christ, of the completeness of the redemptive work of Christ. Our glands belong to Him. Our minds belong to Him. Our lungs belong to Him. Our soul belongs to Him. Our body belongs to Him. Our spirit belongs to Him. Your liver belongs to Him. Paul Little likes to talk about Christians getting shivers in the liver and all that. But the liver does belong to Him. And I don't know if God gives you liver shivers. It's all right if He does. Your liver belongs to Him. You are redeemed. You belong to Him. Your nervous system belongs to Him. They're all His by redemptive right. He purchased you. And so if you misuse any part of your body, you are interfering with that redemptive right that is His, because He purchased you. You belong to Him. You are branded by Him. I've got some quotes from some authorities because I thought you would like to hear something from someone who is authoritative, and I will quote them, and then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. First, Dr. Harry Link, who was a psychiatrist, gave up Christianity as an outmoded superstition when he studied psychiatry. And then after he had practiced for 10 years, he was driven to Christ by the needs of people that he thought could not be met by medicine or by any form of therapy or treatment. They needed someone outside themselves. Dr. Harry Lynch and Dr. Frank Crane said this much: depression, gloom, despair, pessimism, these slay 10 persons to everyone killed by typhoid, influenza, diabetes, or pneumonia. I would call it the Great Black Plague. Dr. Harvey Cushing, the great surgeon, said, don't operate on the stomach of a man with stomach ulcers. Operate on his head. He didn't tell how to do that operation. Dr. Taylor of Columbia, South Carolina, said, I've never had a case of arthritis among Negroes, and never one among white people, except among those who feared or are worried. So now we're going to look at the branding. It isn't something that's painted on. I got to thinking that some Christians have kind of, they think it's something that's painted on you. It's branded. It stands in, and you can't get away from it. He speaks of a branding, and I want to look at it. It's stigmata, a branding, a marking. The first brand mark that a person has, if he really belongs to Jesus Christ, is forgiveness of others. The Lord Jesus, as He hung on the cross, cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't look down and say, those ignorant people, Those people who know nothing, how ignorant can they be? I detest them because of their ignorance. He looked down and said, because they're ignorant. They do this in their ignorance. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Sir John Seeley certainly is not a Christian, an agnostic. I like agnostics who are good agnostics. There's so many of them. They're such a good challenge to Christians. You know, worry is atheism. You know that, don't you? C.S. Lewis once said that all Christians are part-time atheists. Every time you worry, you're an atheist. If a worry crosses your mind and you're occupied with that worry for that length of time, you're an atheist. A Christian doesn't worry. A person walking in the light, led by the Spirit, living in the Word, doesn't worry. Worry is atheism. But this agnostic, a very, very nice agnostic, I hope to meet him someday. I don't know that I'll ever be in England, but he said this. The outstanding distinguishing mark of a Christian is willingness to forgive injuries. He knows more about Christianity than some of you Christians. The outstanding distinguishing mark of a Christian is the willingness to forgive injuries. I don't know how he keeps from becoming a Christian, but that's it. Maybe that is it. But you and I need to practice what that man is telling us. Forgiveness. There's where it all starts. And unless you have been branded with this brand mark, there's a good question as to whether or not you belong to Christ. Forgiveness. There's where it starts. That brand mark is branded deeply in every person who belongs to Jesus Christ. I have been forgiven. I am one who's forgiven. I can forgive myself for being who I am and what I am. And I've learned that God has forgiven me for who I am and what I am and what I do. And because I have learned that God has forgiven me, and I have learned I can forgive myself, then I can reach out and forgive others. Christians are people who have been forgiven and have learned how to forgive. I read the story of a missionary lady who was standing on an island, a protected island in Tokyo, Japan. A traffic island, aren't they called? In the middle of a street, and traffic coming both directions, and the wind blew and whipped her coat, her coat, and as a taxi cab passed by, it passed very near the curb, and her coat caught in the cab, in the handle of the back door of the cab, and she was dragged almost a half block before the taxi driver recognized that he had that this had happened, and he immediately stopped and put this lady in his cab and rushed her to the hospital and stayed with her, and there was no hope, she was going to die. And this lady, all the rest of the few hours that she was left, she called the cab company and said it was not his fault. Please don't reprimand this man. She called the insurance company and said, please don't cancel his insurance. It wasn't his fault. It was purely an accident. She called his company and asked them, please, in no way reprimand this man. It was not his fault. The dying words of this lady, and she knew she was dying, was, this man bears no responsibility for this. And the taxi cab driver went to her funeral. And the man who preached her funeral hardly mentioned the gospel at all, but guess what happened? that taxicab driver came to Jesus Christ because he had seen in this woman forgiveness. Forgiveness. And you and I think it's the beautiful tracts. Someone was telling me, you mustn't give out tracts printed on newsprint. It must be on the best paper there is, and in three color and all that baloney. And let me tell you, people are reading you. They're not reading your tract. They read whatever tracts or whatever you give them or whatever you say in the light of you. And if you have a forgiving spirit, if you've been branded with the brand marks of Christ, and you are a forgiving person, that's the forgiveness. The second, there used to be a clock up here, and it's almost noon. This is only 0.2, and there are 8. I shouldn't have told you that, because some will walk out right now. Is no self-pity when the daughters of Jerusalem wept over the Lord Jesus, he said, weep not for me, weep for yourself. Surrender all feelings of inferiority and impulses to be sorry for yourself to God. And I think the culture you and I live in is just permeated with self-pity. Feel sorry for me. I have to walk a half block to work. Feel sorry for me. Self-pity. It's just, watch the TV. If you keep from vomiting. Watch the TV. And all that stuff that they are giving you is to make you feel, I need so many things. I'm deprived of so much. And I should have it. I'm worthy. And they make you feel there's no one so worthy. You should have it. Self-pity. And Jesus Christ knew nothing of that kind of thing. And you have, if you belong to Christ, you have been branded with the red hot iron. And you cannot show yourself pity. And then there's the third thing I think that we are branded with is joy in spite of. And all you grammarians, that isn't a sentence, but that's what I'm saying anyway. Joy in spite of, period. Not joy because of. For many of us Christians, you read books and magazines and all this, and you're supposed to be happy because of. But the Lord Jesus Christ had joy in spite of. Anyone can have joy on account of. I see these tapes, and I always blow my nose, and you have to put these on another reel, and you take those out. You can take out anything else you want. The man at the radio station, Richard Myers, put it on a great big reel, and he was laughing the other day, and he said, if you knew how often you paused and how many times you blew your nose, and he took out, and he said, I even hiccuped once, and they can take out. Isn't that marvelous? They put it on, take these off, and put them on a big reel at the radio station, and cut out the hiccup. I think that's. He even didn't like something I said, and so he cut that out also. That's editing. I think they call it clearing a tape. Isn't it? It's called cleaning. I suppose it's a technicality. Joy in spite of. There was a lady who was saved only a year, and she said, finding and following the Lord Jesus Christ, I found out three things. One, you are delivered from all fears. And this lady had been very paranoid. One, you are delivered from all fears, and two, you are absurdly happy, and three, you still have lots of trouble. I thought, my, what growth. She had found out something about discipleship. She had learned something about living for Christ that some people who profess to know Him for many years have not learned. Joy in spite of. There's someone whom I know, and the unsaved, the unbelieving workers who work with this person said that she, they complained that she, it's indecent for anyone to be that happy all the time since she became a Christian. Joy in spite of. And then the fourth is calm receptivity. That's not my own phrase, and I will tell you who I got it from. Harry Emerson Salisbury, who probably isn't a Christian, wasn't a Christian. But liberals can say such nice things, and they have, they're so well educated. They think up good phrase, and that's such a good word, and I want to credit Harry Emerson Salisbury with that. Calm receptivity. Do you know what he means? I'm not sure I do, but I'm going to tell you what I mean by it. The Lord Jesus was always receiving and giving. He gave so much that people were always wanting to give to Him. Did you ever notice? Have you ever noticed that if you are a person who gives, that you always get? And you can't stop that. It's a two-way avenue that always works this way. The person who sits in a corner and says, no one ever does anything for me. I'm so lonely. You know that those people never give anything. They never give anything. That's why they never get anything. The Lord Jesus Christ was constantly giving until there wasn't time for people to eat who were around Him. They had no time for anything. They were giving. But He was constantly getting. A lady came one time and brought a box of ointment that cost her a year's salary, and it was probably her life earnings. And he couldn't stop her. She poured it over him. She was so willing to give. Calm receptivity. He could take. Have you known Christians you couldn't give them anything? Pride. We owe each other so much, and we should be willing to receive from one another humbly. The Lord Jesus did. He knew how to give because He knew how to receive. I thought that we are simply channels attached to unlimited resources. The scripture says, freely ye have received, freely give. And then you read this over in the book of Nahum, the one before Nahum, Obadiah, just one of the minor prophets. And he talks there so much about the priests and the people who were supposed to be leading, and they wouldn't prophesy, they wouldn't do anything if you didn't give them money. Shell out some cash and we will give to you, you know. But freely ye have received, freely give. We're just simply channels, and the channel is just to be unplugged, just kept clean, and it's kept clean by a constant flow of water through. Fresh water flowing through keeps the channel clean. The fifth brand I have is courage. Because you were born a coward, the whole human race, there's no such thing as brave men. I had the privilege of knowing General Papadakis of the Grecian army when I was a child. And he said that the army was not made up of brave men, because I infuriated him He asked me, do you know what it takes to make a good Grecian soldier? I said, sure. It's got to be brave. And he said, no! And just about scared me. Do you know? And by then I wasn't going to guess. He had a sword and he might have cut off my head if I had. So I said, no, sir, I don't know. He said, give me a fool. Give me a coward. I don't need brave men. I don't need wise men. Give me someone who will obey and I'll make a soldier. Obedience is all that. But the Lord Jesus gives us courage. We're branded with courage. We're so desperately scared and backslidden, we wouldn't go into any battlefield. Have you ever? I have had a gospel tract in my hand and actually trembled when I sat. I used to travel on the train a lot, when trains traveled, and would sit and tremble with the tract in my hand. I was so scared to give it to the other guy, you know. Have you ever done that? Courage. He gives us courage. It's unpopular, you know. It's not a popular thing to be courageous, because if you are courageous, you will be honest. And the truth, just simply their truth, is not popular. Not with Christians. Don't ever sit there on your pious rear end and say, oh, but Christians are so honest with each other. Don't kid yourself. Because a good deal of the time, you're playing phony with God yourself. And it is not a popular thing to be honest. But there is where it starts. Courage starts with honesty with myself and with God. And we're branded. The sixth thing I have is power to take it. It's strength to take it. The Lord Jesus could take good just as well as he could bad. A judge, Judge Landis, said, there is an increase in the use of drugs, narcotics, and opiates because people can't stand frustration. The people that come before me have no religion, so they turn to crops of aspirin, drugs, and liquor. They can't take it. Never again are you to whine. If you belong to Christ, you've been branded with the power to take it. You're not a typical American if you're a Christian. If you're really a New Testament Christian, you're a very poor American. If you're really a Christian, a New Testament Christian, you've been branded with the brand marks of Christ. And you can take it. You're not one of those soft marshmallow type things that running around here. The power to take it. Whining, complaining, retreating. A Christian is to take everything that comes to him. And God gives grace. And you're branded with that brand mark of Christ. And the seventh I have, you're branded with this brand. He cared. We're in a world that doesn't care. Mind, if you had been in prison as often as I have, and as much as I have, most of the friends I have are either in prison or the psychiatric ward of the hospital. I have more friends who are in prison or in the psychiatric ward than anywhere else. And you know that most of these people are there because nobody cared. They never met anyone who cared. And we as the church of Christ, God's people at large, have made a colossal failure of communicating to men and women without Christ and without hope that we care. We'll speak louder than money. Louder than any spiritual gymnastics you might be able to perform. If you show people, I care. And it's not just done with words. The Lord Jesus was sensitive to people who were hungry. And everyone's hunger but his own he cared for. Imprisonment. 90 times in the Bible, prisons are mentioned. 44 in the Old Testament, 46, there were a few more in the New Testament. Christians were always either in prison or eating. If you want to be a New Testament Christian, you have to eat a lot. I'm glad to see you drinking coffee. That's a step in the right direction. Eat a lot and get in jail a lot. And you'll be New Testament. It's because they cared. He cared. They cared. To be in touch with Jesus Christ, I think, is to be sensitive to needs of people. And the person who goes their own wooden way through this world without sensitivity to others and their need has not been branded with this brand mark. He cares. Von Hugel, the Roman Catholic, who has so many things, you ought to read. You can quote him all the time. And you know what Charles Spurgeon said. Anyone who does not quote will never be quoted. I always quote. Von Hugel said, Christian people are people who care. You're branded. If you belong to Christ, you care. Not just for your own household, not just for those who are nearest and dearest, but for that little child down the street with the runny nose, and no one to wipe his nose, for the old person who's forsaken and forgotten in these awful, horrible places that we build nowadays that look so nice on the outside, where you put old people so you can forget them and leave them and pay $500 a month to have someone else take care of them. A Christian care. He's been branded. And the last one, he gave himself. He's been branded that way more deeply than any other. He gave himself. All of himself. With the Lord Jesus, there was no holding back. And with true New Testament Christianity, there's no such thing as 98 and 44, 100%. We're branded. We either belong to him, heart, soul, body, life, automobile, bathtub, soap, teeth, and all. Or we're fakers, and the world can't stomach people like that. The world can understand the person who is all out for Christ, who is branded with this. But the world can't understand if what we are saying about Calvary is true. The world can't understand anyone who holds back anything and says they belong to Christ. He gave himself. The Son of God, Paul said, who loved me and gave himself for me. Can I do any less? And branded. You're branded. And some of us are old And I thought, when I was ill, I have been sick. I want one. One more opportunity to go and tell people at once and listen and the town in Iowa. Yes, that you belong to him, you have a very short time. I'm not usually a blubber baby. I blame everything on the medicine. But I had one desire to come and say to you, you belong to him. The time is short. And it's up to you now. Bill and I are soon, very soon, going to be gone out of this place. And he has given you. And you're so much more qualified than we ever were. You have so much more to give. And he depends on you. You're branded. You can't get out of it. You're branded. That's what Paul said in that verse. Father, help us not to try to get out of the branding. You've seen how little calves wiggle and cry and try their best to get away. We're like that too. Pull us down, Lord. Keep us there. Make us men and women of God so that this world can see by our lives without us printing signs on ourselves we're Christians. Or having to say a word, may they say Jesus Christ in our life and action, we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen.